100.9, Belfast, Maine.
Do we hear the intro or anything?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is your host, Coach Brian Goff, head football coach for your Belfast Lions. I'm also the head JV basketball coach this year. Really looking forward to getting together with the guys here. Sounds like December 14th is a tentative date, and we can start working with the players and our winter sports to a degree. We'll be off and running. It's a week-to-week deal, everything that's going on with COVID. So we're all keeping our fingers crossed that we're going to be able to have a winter sports season. And I have a guest tonight that's going to talk to us a little bit about his sport, the sport of wrestling. This coach wears many hats at Belfast Area High School, and we'll get into all those job responsibilities that he is into in just a moment. But we have Coach Logan Walsh joining the show tonight. Coach Logan Walsh is a physical education teacher at Belfast Area High School. He's also the head of the strength and conditioning department, and he also is an assistant coach for football and wrestling. Very busy man, to say the least. Coach Logan Walsh, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. Before we get into all those hats that you wear, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you grew up, where you went to school, all that good stuff.
Born and raised Madison, Maine. Madison Bulldog, graduated high school there in 2003, went to the University of Maine. I got my master's there, got to get a good chance. My god uncle got me into the strength conditioning program when he found out that I was interested and such. So he put me in there. I had a place to be. I found a lot of good connections, made a lot of good friends in there, and got to work with a lot of teams, got to work with Husson's strength conditioning department, start their strength conditioning department up in like 2007, I think it was, for my master's. That's what I did for part of my all my graduate degree and everything, was start their strength conditioning department. And then I came over here and started working out in Belfast people for a while, ran a wrestling club over in Ellsworth, and all while teaching on the side. And now that I became a full-time PE teacher, I coach wrestling and football, and definitely looking to expand and help out in the youth scene of Belfast wrestling as well.
That is awesome. So how many total years did you spend at the University of Maine at Orono?
6.5.
It was four years for the bachelor, then 2.5 for the master's. Is that how that worked?
Yes, sir. I got a degree in kinesiology and exercise physiology. I got my master's as well, master's of education in that. I enjoyed my time thoroughly. I was a long time intern for strength conditioning. My Uncle Bobby got me put right in there, and I got to do everything from give out the protein bars and wipe down for the first year or so, to start spotting people, to help out making summer programs, and obviously giving me hours just to do the printing and all the copying for each individualized program and such, how we did them all differently for each position and such. But yeah, it was a great experience at UMaine. I got a long time there, and I loved it. It was definitely what got me into coaching and wanted me to coach more. And when I first found my love into wrestling full time, it was a huge play in how I had my knowledge to figure it out.
That is super cool. And to our listeners out there, I don't know if you just noticed Coach Walsh say Uncle Bobby. Uncle Bobby is the former star quarterback for the UMaine Black Bears, Bobby Wilder, who also went on to have a very successful coaching career at a number of stops. And most recently, he was at Old Dominion University. Is that right, Coach?
Yes, he was the head coach of Old Dominion for a while. He was the great person for that university, and he just retired, I think. Was last season, I think.
I remember they had a big upset here and there. I believe it was Virginia Tech I saw a couple years ago on ESPN. ODU not only competed but upset them that day, so that must have been a big thrill.
Oh yeah, and I think Derek was on the team and everything else, his oldest son. It was a big day. It was awesome. It was all over ESPN. I mean, he's been a part of two big upsets. He had that big upset, and he was at University of Maine. They upset Mississippi State while he was there, so he's seen some cool stuff like that.
That is very, very cool. So you're a young man from Madison, Maine. You then make your way to the University of Maine at Orono. How is it you found your way to Belfast after those first two stops?
My beautiful bride, she was born and raised in Belfast, Maine. She has a lot of Belfast heritage here. Her grandparents moved her dad here, and Her mother's grandparents were from the Freedom area and moved over here, and her mother and father both graduated from Belfast. My wife was part of the three-time 54-0 Belfast team. I think she only lost like one game her freshman year too. She was part of a great Feel Lucky dynasty and went on to play at University of Maine. I met her while she was an athlete while I worked in the strength conditioning program and such.
That is cool. So kind of like Coach Art Fairbrother's story a little bit. You know, when mama wants to come home, mama's coming home. Is that right, Coach?
Yes, sir.
Good stuff, man. So what year was it that you came to Belfast?
I actually, when I met my wife in 2008, I came over and I just started like hanging out with Belfast people and working out with my father-in-law. My father-in-law was one who got me really into wrestling again. Like, I wrestled for Skowhegan when I was young in the youth and just had a love for the sport. And when I was in college, I had notes on everything that I did from football to wrestling. Those were my two ideas, because I always knew my best football players I worked with in the strength conditioning program were past wrestlers like Jovan Belcher and Chris Howley and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I just, like, I came over to him. He had a wrestling room in the garage. When I first met him, I was like, oh, all right, I'm definitely into this. The next thing you know, he's like, you want to work out one of my athletes? And Zach Schellebarger was a state champion he had that going into his senior year. I lifted with him that whole summer, and he just beat the crap out of me in the wrestling room, and I just found my passion again. Next thing we know, my father-in-law, I asked him if he wanted to start a wrestling club, and we did for a couple of years. And I moved over and started another wrestling club over in Ellsworth. And he's always been a big mentor and coach for me in wrestling, my father-in-law, Mike Cummings.
So pretty much you just, you know, went into this wrestling room one day, started messing around a little bit, and the next thing you know, you found a love and a passion for it, and it made you want to become a coach. Is that right?
Yeah, basically, I remember being like in like third grade wrestling around a barn with the Clarks in Skowhegan. My dad's good friend was Mike Clark, and they owned a dairy farm. It's now an auction farm and such. And they told me, yeah, come on over in January. And I remember being above the Skowhegan basketball court in their like weightlifting room. They have a big wrestling room up there. And that was the first time I ever got a taste of the sport. And my parents brought me down to some tournaments for a few years with them. And it was a great experience. And then college, I kind of like tried to help get the UMaine club going again. I did. When I came over to Belfast, I still helped out. I went up there and helped run practices. I even went down to Springfield and helped coach at some tournaments for them and stuff. And yeah, I just like fell right in love with it. My father-in-law gave me the opportunity, and we often ran with it. And I did full year round club coaching for a little over 5 years at least.
Very cool. Very cool. yeah. I mean, I as a spectator loved to come and watch the wrestling matches when I was a student at Belfast Area High School. It seems that the wrestling program has always been pretty strong at Belfast. You know, I went to school here for 4 years back in the day from 86 to 90. Coach Teddy Hero was the then coach, then had a nice long run there, and he's a very, very accomplished coach. Did you know Coach Hero at all?
Yes, I did meet Coach Hero. He was a great guy. He was there forever. I've heard all the stories when he was there from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and the other coaches that got to coach with him. He's had tons of history. I think he brought basically wrestling to Belfast. He went to like North Dakota State or one of those North Dakota colleges to play football, and they got him on the wrestling team, was a story I heard. And he came back and they got him going with it. And he picked a bunch of tough kids out. Next thing you know, they were all competing for New England titles, like Sandy Bryant got like second New England and stuff like that. And then Dennis Sprague and all those guys. And there's a lot of big names up there that those people still come to our meets too, which is really, really, really awesome for the Belfast heritage. Like when I came over here, I definitely felt like I have to give 150% because this town has so much that our season we had when we went 29-4, which was a good season compared to the year before, like it was moderate for what Belfast wrestling is. Like Belfast wrestling expects greatness. In 2008, they got third in New England. That's like one of the top places that any team remains ever gotten. And I hope we become a team that's just knocking on that door all the time. This is really my hope that I put my passion into it. I hope I can help them.
Absolutely. It sounds like you guys are well on your way. I know you had a very successful season last year that we'll get to in just a moment. How many years total have you been coaching wrestling at Belfast now?
I did two seasons fully. This would be my third season with Belfast. Before that, I helped out in Ellsworth. I coached Ellsworth Middle School full time for about two or three seasons. And I always coached, I helped coach in 2016, the Maine national team too, as well. But yeah, this is my second, I've only done two full seasons, a full like normal high school squad. I've always just normally done a club thing and helped out high school squads. So it was really cool, like jumping in. And like my father always told me about it. He's like, wait till you jump in your own squad. And it was awesome. Like I really liked it. Like the camaraderie, the team building of it, like trying to figure out each individual. It was a lot easier when I ran a club and each individual came into our mesh, our mold, and I got to know each person one by one. I had to go out and go out of my way to grab each kid now and really talk to each kid as much as I could, try to figure everybody out, because probably only a small percentage of them I actually known for a while. Luckily, I got to work with like the Caden Bonins and the Gavin Youngs and those guys since they were kindergartners. So I had a small little threshold of kids I'd worked with before. And I'd already talked to kids and got my hands on Jonah Lovejoy and some of those kids before. So I was lucky that I could have a little bit of, it's always good to have a little bit of that like history with the kid, because it makes it go a long ways when you try to get a point across to everybody else, like when they're taking it seriously.
Must be really cool to see some of those guys you just mentioned now, you know, sophomores in high school, and, you know, high school goes by very fast. It seems like you snap a finger, you're a freshman, then you're a senior, and you're moving on in life. You've been working with some of these guys since they were in kindergarten. And I think with any sport, you put that time in, as you know, coach, whatever your craft is, you give 110%, you show up, you take to the coach, and you could turn yourself into a great wrestler. And having Gavin and Caden on our football team, you know, I see how much they've grown up in the last year. And, you know, I honestly think that some of their skills on the football field, you know, transfer to not only the wrestling mat and vice versa. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely. One of the best coaches in the country named Jeff Buxton. He preached it hardcore about how his team at Blair Academy in New Jersey, when the football coach and him were close for a while, they'd send groups up and he'd work out with their offense and defensive linemen, teaching them basic wrestling hand fighting and just those movements and just the skill of when someone reaches out to post and push on you, the different ways to clear that and turn it into your own offense, defense, however you want to make it, is really, really, really important. And it's just like for linemen and so like that, like I always wish that I had like tons of wrestle off with the big boys, because everybody loves watching the big kids when they hit the ground. It's louder, they go hard. You wouldn't want to be underneath them, you know. Like people really respect the Ben Watts and the Shane Rumneys and all those kids and the Cameron Watts and those big boys who go out there. Like Cam takes on kids with his slick skill and makes it look like an art. And it's awesome. It really is. So it's just like when you have those kids that you can see how it really helps them in their sport, especially Cam, where he'd stand people up straight in the shadow tackle real quick. And next thing you know, he'd be standing in his hole. That was his little game. And it's like, it really relays the best for the lineman, especially. And for that guy, who was that, Kamal Baker, that cornerback for the Browns, he changed levels and ducked a guy and did a knee slide right underneath him and fell right into a tackle. So like, those little times, like to me as a wrestling coach, it's just like, ooh, I could do that.
I always tell the guys, you know, in terms of tackling somebody on the football field, I always ask if there's any wrestlers. You get a few guys that raise their hand. And I say, double leg takedown. Big thing, shoot and go low. You just tackled somebody in football.
Yeah, as a wrestling coach, I see a kid who can tackle really well. All I tell them to do is as soon as you get ready to hit them, just throw your hips and do it differently and pop your head up. And in wrestling, that person will fall over so much easier, I promise. that's how I do it in my sport. But in football, it's real similar for those kids, because the kids who aren't afraid to take the shot, to be the offensive people, are the kids in football that would be like the I'm going to come after you. Wow, like I'd have a kid, like I used to coach a kid named Trent Goodman that's an amazing, innovative mind, great feel for any sport he plays. And I would have loved to have put his big body out at safety, because he could smack somebody if he wanted to, but it wouldn't have been his thing to go in there and just smash faces every play. You know, he would rather sit back and play the finesse of the game and feel the game out. And when those opportunities arise, he'd step up, but because he's tough, but that's why he played soccer. But anyways, he was a great athlete like that. That's what I can think of for every athlete. When you see those, like, they have their niches and how they play, you kind of put their athlete for how they play.
Absolutely. As I said in my intro, you're a man that wears many hats at Belfast. You're coaching two sports. You're head of strength and conditioning. You're a PE teacher. All the while, you're married, raising two young boys. I would imagine there's not a lot of hours left in the week at the end of the week. Is that safe to say, Coach?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm not a big sleeper anyways. If you can tell by the speed of my voice, I get as many minutes out of every day that I can. I wake up thinking about wrestling especially and thinking about my, like, how I relate my love of my coaching and stuff to my coaching and sports psychology class and how I do it with my love and talking about how teams mesh with football and how a great defense flows together and moves as one and stuff like that. Like, and all those types of things, my team sport and then my strength conditioning class. I relate everything I've ever done with the University of Maine. Everything I do is a passion to me. So I love what I do. Like, a lot of people who have to sub for a PE teacher, like, wow, for a day, if I actually do some stuff, I'm tired. And I say, yeah, there's days when I play floor hockey 3 times a day, you know, and I might cover a study hall, but I love it every minute of it. Like, I'm just like a very passionate person for those types of things. And yeah, being able to help out the kids in the weight room is huge for me. And just the wrestling room is my passion now. It gets to be my classroom now. It's developing into a great place that I can put my classes through circuit workouts and have everything set up so the Belfast wrestling team can keep growing, hopefully numbers wise and talent wise with the tools that they were given.
Absolutely. Good points all the way around. We live in the world of COVID right now. It's been around for 8 months. You know, I'm watching the news every day. I'm getting these daily updates on the vaccines. Things look pretty positive in that regard. But over the last 8 months, you know, you've had to deal with a lot of things that, you know, COVID presents in terms of challenges and things of that nature, not only from coaching and teaching. You know, I saw what we had to go through with the protocols with football. Mm-hmm. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you go about your workday as a PE teacher and all the things and challenges that COVID presents and how you have to navigate around that a little bit.
It's an every second thing. Like, there isn't 1 second you're not noticing it. Kids in that mask fall down below their noses because they want to wear something comfortable. They're not going to wear a disposable mask that gets dirty over and over and have to buy new ones. They're going to throw it in the wash and dry and put it back on. They're getting saggy. And it's a thing where you have to be aware of it. You try your best to keep everything clean. I sanitize after kids are done with mats. And when they're working out in the gym, I tell them sanitize when you're done. I try to get them to set up the little station area. That's why I always push and how I train with supersets and those things. And yeah, I'm wearing a mask every second. And when we can, we go outside for mask breaks. And before it was easy because we were outside playing multiple forms of golf. I was playing frisbee golf. I was playing soccer golf. We were working on just the strokes with irons because we only had so much space, but that gave them a chance to hit and feel like the big distance. We would only hit it once because we didn't want to mark up any of our beautiful field hockey practice field and baseball field. And we wouldn't want to mark up our football fields. So that we obviously didn't want to hit the golf balls or anything like that. So it was a great experience. And it's made me realize like how last year was a new experience and it was wow being a high school full-time teacher. But now it's like almost being new again with like just a few new students and like a whole new protocol of like, let's figure it out. Like, it's always constant. We're always trying to disinfect. Like, we thought of a game like foosball, and we knew it was a rainy week. So we did indoor foosball with the kids. People have been doing outside. So with masks on, the masks weren't a trouble, but the kids were constantly too close for too long in too many situations. So we had to shut it down. So it was just like, there's so many great ideas and great things, but it's just with the protocols until we can figure out everything and until this curve flattens down and makes it so it's something that's kind of fading away, hopefully at some point, like, it's going to be tough. PE life's just going to be different for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably got to be the toughest class to teach. I mean, you can have a mask on in a classroom as you're teaching English or math or what have you. You know, PE classes, there's physical energy that's being burned as you're whatever activity you're doing. Now you got a mask over your face.
I'm definitely trying to like relate with the kids, and I look at some of my kids. Like, I have a kid who's open with me, and he's great about it. He doesn't play any sports, but he's like, yeah, I like lifting. And I look at it and I ask him, like, relate what you do to lifting to how it's going to help you in life. How's it going to better your life? What are you going to do for your job or what you do for fun? What sports would you play as an athlete as you get older? He goes, well, I wouldn't want to play any sports, but I like to work on cars in my family's garage. And I'm going to be pulling a lot of tires off and picking up a lot of heavy things. I want to be strong. I was like, I love it. You know, so it's just like you have to do all those things because it's just right now with everything going on, it's constant. It's one of those things where you think there's going to be an opportunity to do one thing, but there's so many limitations that the kids struggle with it at times. And like, especially with the mass, like when you get the kids doing something, like we were doing the Frisbee golf and we had a small class and I noticed we were running around as we were doing it. We wanted to get as many holes when we were doing it in different ways. We did like 5 times in class on a huge field and we were running around and we were dripping sweat inside of our face. And we were like, holy cow, you know, like, I can't believe it. And when we did the foosball one, it was insane. Kids' masks were like sagging from sweat. So I was realizing now I'm requesting for like disposable ones. And those are the type of challenges that you're just like, wow, I feel bad for these kids just because of the fact that like now after they leave here, first period strength conditioning, getting a great workout in, when I put them through like a band series and a plyo workout and they were sweating all through that. Now they got to go wear that for 3 more periods and lunch today. You know, so it's just like, there's a lot of challenges with those types of things that you wouldn't have thought of when you're writing your lesson plan.
I hear that, you know, I never would have thunk that something like this could happen in this day and age. And, you know, so many things have been taken away from us over the last year. It's really made me realize, you know, things that you took for granted, that, you know, how much you miss them and how much you just, you know, pray and wish things would go back to normal. And right at the top of my list is coaching and being around the athletes and the other fellow coaches and the fans and the Belfast faithful. And
oh, yeah,
pretty much what I'm all about in my stage of life that I'm at right now. And I
remember looking at you this season, Coach. Like, we both just got punched in the gut when they're like, "Yeah, you can't slap hands." I'm like, "We're all touching the same football," but it's just like we can't slap hands. It's just, oh man, it's like,
yeah. Like, something is simple as that. You can't high five a player anymore, or a fellow coach.
Couldn't even hit bump. We were doing everything got shut down. It was just like to a point where you're just like, because that's the part that I was the youngest of 5 boys and I loved jumping on people. I remember my dad laying on the floor and I would just constantly jump on him, and I was just like, loved human contact. And like, I've always been a handshaker and get up and like not afraid to grab you. That's why I love wrestling, kind of thing, you know. And it's just like, now you can't even shake hands. The first thing they thought when they told us that night, they hit me and I was like, how am I ever going to be able to wrestle with the kid if I can't even shake the hand? This is going to be impossible.
Now, if COVID wasn't here, winter sports were scheduled to have started on November 17th. Obviously, things are being pushed back a little bit. They're telling me in terms of basketball, there's a tentative date around December 14th to start some workouts. What is the latest you're hearing in terms of a wrestling season? When you can start working out with the guys again, and what that might look like with the COVID protocols in place.
We're going to see tentatively in December what the kids want. I'm guessing it's just going to be a couple days a week of like, let's start getting a baseline exercise down. We have a great IT person who's getting grants, and she's been buying us sports specific stuff from different types of bands, to different types of battle ropes, to different types of weight vests, to even different types of these Bulgarian bags that are like a big sandbag that go over your neck, so you can hold yourself in a good posture position when you do your wrestling style shots. You can swing it around and work the muscles that you wouldn't do with normal weights and such. But yeah, we're gonna have like a big time, like, let's make it fun and condition motion and work on improving position. Like, that's gonna be the biggest thing I'm gonna try to do, is start from the rewind that most people think, grab somebody, take the shot, figure out how to take them down. I want to say, all right, you're already in deep. We're learning Jeff Buxton style backwards. I'm going to teach these kids improve position, improve position, improve position. So when Belfast wrestling comes out again and we have a chance to perform, these kids are going to shoot in and people are going to think, did that kid just knee slide for a second as he shot? Because he's going to think about improving position. As soon as he thinks about going in for that shot, he's already thought about improving position, getting ahead of the kid's defense. Because if we can get those kids mentally trained, that not only is their defense crisp and clean, they know all lines of defense, they will be able to be the fastest re-attackers and the best at setting up their shots. And when they get in deep, they improve position. They don't ever get happy to get there and try to just pick someone up. Their hips follow through, their head stays up, they pivot and turn, and they create angles that defenses can't stop. And I believe that Belfast, if we commit to it mentally and if we do a good technique series and load it all up on YouTube during this downtime, which I'm trying to start working on now, these kids should have the they should have the information right at their hands that they're going to be practicing, so they can see it as many different ways as they can. And it's going to be available to them. So when they're sitting at night and they are frustrated in practice and they couldn't figure something out, they'll rewatch that technique a million times. They'll come in before practice and say, "Coach, go over this." And I'll be excited to go over it. Like the kids that crave it, you're going to give it, you got to feed it to them twice over because they're going to eat it up. And I hope we have a team that wants to eat it up. We might lose a couple, little bit of numbers, but we have some great wrestlers back, some great kids, great team unit, great energy in the room. We make it fun as we can. And it's, I really hope the kids all give it a try. They're all questioning about it because it's a sport that builds you into something that you might not ever think you had inside you. It takes you to a point where every wrestler knows that point, like a distance runner knows, where you hit that point where you think you can't go anymore. It hurts. Something just hurts so deep inside. And you're not allowed to stop because there's a whistle and there's a time, and the, or you're trying to finish the race like in cross country, and you just push through it. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get that refresh moment. And that refresh moment, something that like every wrestler, when you watch a big match and you see that kid come back right at the end and score a point, win by one, and a score 2 point takedown, and he wins by one, you get so excited for him because you can feel that feeling of, he just all of a sudden felt the energy of the room, felt the energy of the moment, felt the energy of, my coach always says, get the last takedown at the end of the period. Keep wrestling, keep wrestling, keep wrestling, keep wrestling. When that kid dives in just to grab a hold of your leg and just try to stall the match out, you down block that shot and you scored because you just like, you were always ready for it. Like, that's the thing that my father-in-law preached is make sure these kids know their line of defense. And that's all second nature, because if the defense is always on point and if you can't get scored on, you'll never lose because you can always just get an escape.
Right on, coach. Real quick before we go to commercial break here, at what point in your life did you have that light bulb moment where, you know, you had that feeling that you wanted to become a PE teacher and a coach? Was it back when you were a student at Madison? Was it when you were, did you always know it? Did it happen after school? When did you have that epiphany?
I had some great teachers and I had some great brothers, but what, my closest brother in age was 6 years older than me, but he at one point aspired to be a PE teacher. So that got me thinking about it, because when I was young, I wanted to be a truck driver or a PE teacher. My dad drove trucks and I wanted to be like my older brother. So, and I wanted to be athletics, and I love PE because I have ADD naturally that can't be cured. And it's just like something that I feel like the kids like me needed. Like as much PE as they could. I took PE every single time I could in high school. I never took a year without PE. I almost did tech school for half a year, stopped doing it because I couldn't have PE. And it just wasn't what I wanted to do anyways. You know, like it was, I loved it. It was like, I knew Mr. Hensby in middle school really drew me to it, the way he like kind of would take over with the whole team aspect. And I remember him taking like one or two of the decent kids and putting as many of the kids as he could that were considered some like the PE, like all stars of the group, you know, PE superstars. And he'd make us all, he'd be like, "Hey, listen to this spacing stuff." He talked to us about spacing and about passing and not even having to run, and we'd be wiping the floor with floor hockey, and we'd be wiping the floor up with like ultimate football we play outside. And he'd be on our teams, and this old man would just teach us these little tricks, and I loved it. And I was like, that's what I want to be. I want to be that guy who can play forever. And like one of my goals as a coach is I want to wrestle with my grandkids someday. If I can wrestle with my sons through high school, that's my first goal. And then once they get through high school, keep myself in good enough shape so my grandbabies come up, I can grab a hold of them and let them pin me someday. And maybe I pin them a couple times too and trick them. That would be the best feeling in the world. You know, that would be the full circle right there. But I remember Mrs. Vining, I had a woman PE teacher that she, every day, I always tell the kids in school, I'm like, "Oh, you know, back in my day story," we ran the mile every day to warm up. We walked in, we changed. She's like, "All right, that everybody." She'd check her little thing off her list. She'd set it down. She'd move her arms around. She'd be like, "All right, let's go." And she'd run us the mile with us. She'd take off. And if you didn't run hard, she'd make you run hard. And I ran under a 7-minute mile every day, no matter what, because she would run under a 7-minute mile. And you didn't want to lose Miss Vining because she would be talking crap to you if you're like an athlete in the class. So you'd run ahead of her and you loved it. She ran 3 to 4 miles a day because we had 4 80-minute blocks, you know? So every day she'd run 3 or 4 miles a day, and she'd whoop our butts in badminton and pickleball. And she was a type that, like, she wasn't like a life talk person, but she's a type that you like, she'd hear you talking about something like stupid and she'd laugh you off and say, and she'd give you a little bit of like a life lesson. And it was something you giggle off, but she was just nice about it. And I always just try to be that teacher that's light in a way that the kids feel like they can say anything to. And they know I'm here because I'm here for them first. Cause without these kids, we don't have school. Without these kids, we don't have wrestling. If these kids don't love wrestling, I don't have a coach. I don't have a team to coach. So that's why my biggest thing when I coach is I want to make sure the kids are having a good time and enjoying it, to the fact that it's like a culture. Like,
I talk about the subculture of wrestling and shoes. Just like I always talk about the kids with the cleats and the team. I'm always like, oh, those cleats are sick and stuff. You know, like, I hype them up, make them feel good about it. You look good, feel good, play good. I always keep that hype going for the kids.
Great points, Coach. We're going to take a quick break. This is WBFY 100.9. Local FM. You're also listening to us at BelfastCommunityRadio.org. We're here with Coach Logan Walsh, PE teacher and coach of football and wrestling, as well as strength and conditioning. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
So this is Scott Odell, banjo maven and skipper of the good ship Itchin'. You're listening to WBFY 100.9 FM, Belfast, Maine.
This is WBFY 100.9 FM, broadcasting to you from the center of the universe in Belfast, Maine, completely volunteer radio station. You ought to know by now that we're often imitated, but never duplicated. This is the eighth wonder of the world. If you don't dig it, you know you got a hole in your soul, and you don't eat chicken on Sunday.
Belfast Community Radio is supported by our listeners and by Front Street Shipyard. Since it opened in 2011, the shipyard has added many jobs to the local economy and serviced lots of marine craft in its workshops. The shipyard has also represented Belfast in pictures taken by thousands of tourists. To learn more, go to frontstreetshipyard.com, visit them on Facebook, or just take a stroll along the waterfront.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from Delvino's, serving Italian fare and cocktails on Main Street in downtown Belfast. Call 338-4565.
Let's touch upon football real quick before we dive into wrestling. You've been an assistant coach on the football team now for 2 years. You've been part of the turnaround. We had our first winning season at Belfast in about seven seasons last year. This year there wasn't real football. We had 7-on-7, but played well, went 3-1 before our season was cut short. You've been around the area for a little while now. You see how far the program has come. What would be your message to the players in terms of keeping this positive momentum going forward? Because we've certainly created some momentum. We've built a foundation, and we've got a number of guys that are really, really developed and defined football players. What's your message to them to keep this thing going?
I'd say keep playing the game. We talk about that a lot with always how we grew up. And that's the biggest thing I could see these guys doing. I remember watching my brother's successful teams in high school, and they were constantly just like playing skeleton together, or they would play different forms of like ultimate football. And they just got together and played, throwing the ball around, just being friends. It creates a tighter knit. So you guys know each other better. You know how each other move. You've seen that person move. You've seen that person cut. If you're about to make a block for him, you can tell he's about to break and cut because you've seen him do it 100 times. He's your buddy. He's your homie. Play with each other, go do those things, be on the field together, and just like throw the ball around, because the more those kids do that, the better the unity will be of the team and all those types of things too. It'll just keep the feel for the sport. That's the biggest thing. That's like, I always talk about how wrestling is a sport that a lot of people try to do year round because it's so hard to not keep the feel if you're not wrestling. In football, track helps you keep a certain amount of the feel, because I'm sure some people think when they come right around that last second of that 200 corner and they hit the straightaway, it's like taking off for that touchdown. You know, I got the sideline and nobody's catching me. Like, cause that's what I used to think as a kid when I did track. I was like, I'm not going to just go that touchdown, you know? So like, I make everything be as much as you can about playing the game and being part of the game with your teammates, like meet up down at the park and keep playing you guys 7-on-7 against each other. If you guys want to play and play your own rules and work it out the way you guys work it out, because that just creates a unity and a feel for the sport that you can't replicate. You can't make happen with just a 5-day summer camp. Like, I remember me and a few of my friends that I always went to summer camps with, my good friend Kurt Fegan, when we played in the football field together and he was a linebacker and I was a strong safety, it's like I just knew where he was. I didn't have to think about him. I just knew how he flew. I knew how he moved. I knew his pursuit angles. I knew everything he did. So I knew that when no one would cut back between us. Like, we were going to make the tackle.
Right.
And that's a feeling that you can't get. Like, you just play pickup with friends for days and days and days, you know, and those types of things. And I went to football camp with them, and I just asked the coaches, like, can we be together? And we'd always do everything together. And it's just, it creates that tight knit the team needs. And especially wrestling is great because the team carries you through that and gets you through times, but you're out there alone with football. You're not there alone. You got those 10 other people with you every second on the field, and you're carrying each other. And you always want to bring up the person who's going through who's hurting the most, who's mentally drained, who's tired, hurt. You want to bring them up the most, because if the weakest chain's carrying up, getting brought up, that chain has a higher potential, and the high link on the chain can keep pulling you farther.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that. You know, you've heard me tell the story several times. When I was growing up, I used to play 2-on-2 football every weekend up at the Dyer's house in Marsh Road. You know, we're playing on a 25-yard driveway every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, every single weekend. Didn't matter what time of year it was, didn't matter what type of weather condition. And no doubt I got better as a football player just playing 2-on-2, 3-on-3 football there. It's all about the reps. You get to know the people you're playing with. And if you just keep working and have a love and passion for it and keep working and whatever it is you do, you're just naturally going to get better. And it's my same message to the guys. Don't stop. You know, we've put a lot of work in so far together. I've been with the guys for 3 years. I was the volunteer assistant 3 years ago, head coach the last 2 years. Keep it rolling, men. If you're listening to this interview right now, keep working, keep lifting, keep playing, keep your head screwed on straight. Keep your eye on the prize. And if you do that, you're going to keep improving and we'll keep winning football games. Let's get into the wrestling piece. Talk about what it's like coaching with Coach Rick Kelly. I know Rick very well as he coached football with us last year, as you know. Great man, great coach. I go back, way back with Coach Rick Kelly back when I was a senior at Belfast High School playing. You know, the last football game I ever played was down in Rockland, which is now Oceanside. Well, you look across the field, there's Coach Rick Kelly is the head coach of the Rockland football team back then. So our paths have crossed before. You've been coaching wrestling with him for a couple of years now. Talk a little bit about Rick Kelly, relationship with him, and what he brings to the table as a wrestling coach.
Amazing man. Tons of wisdom. He's got great things that, when it comes to duels, he knows how to play the games. Like, he's got all those little things down. He knows how to count it all out. He knows what kids are what. He knows a lot of times, like, I've seen this kid do these things. And he remembers a lot of that stuff. He's great at, like, figuring out your local scheme and knowing that down to a T. He handles everything for me, so I don't have to think about any type of travel stuff. He's like a rock that just, like you ask him a question, he knows it. And if not, he'll be, like, pulling his phone out or something, emailing. It was Terry, but now it would be Matt. I guarantee it. He'd know. He'd figure it out. Like, he always had everything super organized. It was just, like, so easy. He's like, he brings his part to the table too. Like, he's an older guy, but he stepped on the mat and helped our heavyweights. He's always walking around. He's keeping things in line. He loved the energy of the room. He brought another energy to the room. He was a calm to my storm. I know that he will tell me when I'm starting to get a little bit worked up. I'll admit it. I get worked up. And he helps level me out. He's a great dude. I hope I get to coach with Rick for a long time. I know he just has a grandchild that was just born, technically not in our district at the moment, not far, easily a simple house move away. And I hope I coach with him forever through my babies and everything else, because he's a great man to have. Like, a lot of people respect him. He's just known as a straight shooter that I would never expect him to tell a lie. Everyone that I know of any tournament respects him. So it's like, I felt like, for me, when I came to Belfast and Ellsworth, they had a great group of people that people respected, those coaches, great group that created some good things, some good wrestlers here and there, but they just never had huge teams. And I helped them create a team unit for a while that just came together for them. They appreciated that. And over here in Belfast, they've seen it. And Rick's a guy that they've seen him be part of those team units and see him be a heavyweight that weighed 240, taking on 300 plus pound guys and making it happen. You know, like, tough guy, tough heart. He's got great stories, great push leadership, great ideas for when we do our conditioning and strength conditioning to keep it fun, so the kids aren't doing the same thing all the time. When I have to step away for a minute because
I'm missing late because of a meeting. He gets everything going. He demands the same respect and like flow that we always have. He always bouncing ideas off each other. The bus rides were awesome because we go on crazy long bus rides, so we could sit there and plan out like the whole next week. And he'd love how I'd have it all talked out and stuff like that. He'd laugh about it and everything else. And it was great coaching with Rick. I would love to get him back in football with us again. He's just like great guy to be around. He's that calm. He reminds me so much of my older brothers too, because he was the same age as, like, I have a bunch of brothers that graduated late 80s, like him and your age. He reminds me just like my brother Troy, that he just like ain't gonna tell you no lie. He's gonna tell you straight how it is. it's just like super simple dude that he's a good energy for me to have around all the time, and I appreciate him.
Amen to everything you just said. And Coach Rick knows the door is always open to return to football. Hopefully that will be the case. And I learned a lot by coaching with him last year, and it was nice to have a man with his knowledge on staff last year, as you just said, and just a great guy all the way around. And I wish you and him continued success with the wrestling team. Last year's team, let's talk about the wrestling team now. Last year, you guys had a great deal of success. You won regionals, you won KVAC, and you took third in the state. Is that correct, Coach?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. It's a great, great year all the way around.
We didn't get our full KVAC goal. We won Class B KVACs, but when you compete against 8A, which I think there was might have been three teams ahead of us, at least two. We'll beat them. But we're gonna fully win the KVAC and get both blacks. Is what my goal was for that.
Awesome.
And we pull a state title, I hope.
In terms of what you lost last year, I know Brian White moves on. He took second in the states, had over 100 wins at Belfast High School. That's quite an impressive mark on your resume. What other seniors moved on last year that you'll miss going into this year, Coach?
Oh, Timmy Smith. He was a spark plug. That kid had so much natural athleticism and fire that he got like bronchitis out of nowhere, had to miss like a week, came back, went out to a duel out of nowhere, put like some unreal kid. No, it was at Sanford, put a kid like right to his back. Like, it was either Noble or Sanford, some huge tournament, like threw a kid to his back in the first period, and we thought it was over. Like, oh my word, like he's gonna pin this kid. And then he battled for a while, and the kid ended up coming back on him. Like, he had this fire to him, and he helped out Gavin Young immensely. He was Gavin Young's training partner when I knew Timmy was around and Timmy was feeling good. Gavin was gonna get every bit of it, and Gavin Young was at one of our standout freshmen this year. He got third at all states and third at Class B's, which means he stepped it up and did better at all states. He beat someone who beat him at Class B's, the kid who got second, because Gavin got third, and who he lost to in semis, the kid got lost in finals to a kid from Wells. This kid was named Fogarty from Oceanside. He beat him and battled with the Frost brothers. He had such a great All-State. Brian showed so much toughness, went to All-States, placed fourth, should have got third at least and gone to New England's, but he like hurt his shoulder really bad and couldn't finish. He was a huge step up for our teams in a lot of those times, and Cam had to miss out. But Brian and Timmy were our big losses this year. And if we don't get Ben back, Ben's a huge loss. That he was a kid who stepped in and had some spotty wrestling experience when he was younger, didn't get to really wrestle in high school. But he just came out tough and improved so much. And you saw him improve as a person. You saw what he got out of it as everything. And Ben's jokes that sometimes were perfect and sometimes they were way off timing, but he was just the best kid to have around at the right times. Those when he's in the right mood and the right timing for Ben, like, he brought a lot to our team. So if we lose him, mattering how it works out this year, that'd be a big loss. But I'm trying to think. Elijah Charbonnet, great 170 pounder, stepped up, made it down to 160 for us. He was always Mr. Consistent. I think he said he had like a 500 record or something like that towards the end of it. He started off as a sophomore who never wrestled, had a real rough year. I remember him wrestling some kids that were great kids, state champions that I coached, and him seeing the videos that he just battled. And this kid worked hard. Only kid in the room to do a legitimate takedown on me, and he tossed me on my back last year. he's a tough kid that we're going to miss. He had this quietness to him that was real calm, and he could just handle himself and such like that. But yeah, those are our three seniors. I couldn't believe I almost forgot Elijah for one moment. Yeah, they all had their place. Brian was a superstar that could come out and toss someone on their head and get the whole crowd roaring. And he was a kid that one minute he'd look like he's tired as can be, and
might not have it in him, then all of a sudden he'd just explode. He'd have one more fury of fire in him that he'd make it happen. And it was great to watch him wrestle. And he's going to be missed. Him and Timmy.
Amen. You know, the matches I went to, they were a lot of fun watching those guys perform. I'm really pulling for Ben to get another year. Like you said, he didn't have a lot of development that you need at the younger ages. Last year was a developmental year for him, both in football, wrestling, and personally. But I really feel like, you know, with the year that he put in last year, if he does get that second year this year, you're going to see Ben go out and win some matches for you on the wrestling mat and be a darn good football player for us as well. Only four seniors moving on. That means you got a lot of guys coming back. I'm a basketball guy, so I don't know how, you know, all the nuances with how wrestling works. According to my research, Coach, there's 14 weight classes associated with high school wrestling. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. 16, 20, 26. Yep, you're
right. So let's get right into it. I'm gonna say the weight class, and you tell me about a wrestler or two and a couple of short phrases so we can get through them all and talk about these kids a little bit. Who you got running with you in 106?
Our 106 this year most likely will be Hagen Chase. He's a great little flexible guy that has the biggest heart in the room, and he shows super huge potential because he picks things up. He hasn't wrestled long, so everything you show him is like new, and he'll do it exactly like you just showed him. You can't see anything wrong with it. He's got that spirit in the room. You know he's never going to get in trouble. He's going to be a great leader for us someday, and I see him being a huge wrestler for us. And hopefully we get Holden back. He hasn't signed up yet. Holden, I hope you're listening, you and your family. I'd love to have him back. Him and Hagen had some great wrestle-offs last year. Last year, they both had to lose to Connor, though. Connor was our stud 106 who placed at a lot of things and did real well. We got finalists at Gardner and everywhere else. And he's a great wrestler who's looking to be one of our other wrestlers. So there's our two 106s. Our 113, we're hoping to get Caleb Hayes back, if he can make that weight for us. If he doesn't get to be here with us this year, we have a couple other options. 120 most likely is going to be Connor Fournier. He was a great wrestler last year, showed a lot of good potential to us and a lot of tough kids at 106. There was a great group of 106ers last year. And at Noble at Sanford, he saw his fair share. And he went to Gardner and stepped it up and showed he could wrestle with some tough kids and everything else. Like, he's going to be one of our good one of those. Our 126 most likely will be Gavin Young. He had a great season, third and third, like I said, at States. He showed that he could battle at big matches. Noble didn't go the way he wanted and such, but those are some of the toughest tournaments of those weights. And at Noble, he had a true freshman in his class like him. Well, not true freshmen, they're all true freshmen. But he had a freshman like him named Derek Cody that was a blind freshman who won Class A, all States, and I think he placed in New England as a freshman at 113. But so Gavin will be like our 26. It's tough to know. The one thing is about the weights, we don't have everyone, so I can kind of come right through here and look at my list and kind of just go through my kids that we have on Team Reach. And we still have Andrew Fairbrother will be a freshman coming in. We hope he'll be one of those lower weights. He's long, he's lean, he's fast, he's tenacious. If he takes into high school wrestling and isn't afraid, he'll come after it and be really good for us. Caden Bonin, he's a kid that I believe his short offense game, if we can get him being somebody that hand fights like a grown man as a junior right now, as a sophomore, and he comes out and beats people up, puts him in short offense and scores, he's going to do big things for us. We have a new kid named Daniel Joy, who's real long, that I believe if Andrew Fairbrother and Daniel can learn a lot together, they can figure out how to be these wrestlers who keep people at a good distance but can catch you from anywhere and make big things happen. Frankie Martin, that kid, big heart, huge heart. That kid did so much for us, wrestled any weight class we asked him to. He could do big things for us. He's a kid that one minute you think he's about to get pushed to his back and he pops his hips and re-rolls a kid and makes big things happen. We have Hunter LeBlanc coming in. That's a kid I believe he's going to be a great ball of putty for me. He's brand new. He fights hard. I've seen him wrestle around with his friends. He's part of that group of wrestlers that they all beat on each other, so he's going to keep improving. Jackson Lapierre, another one that stepped up. Him and Frankie were our workhorses. They went into any of those weight classes between 52 and 70 for us. Anytime we needed those guys to fill in, they were doing it. They started each here and there. They won their wrestle-offs at times and lost their wrestle-offs, so it was a big year for them. If we could get Josh Fairbrother wrestling this year, Art, you're listening. You know I'm going to keep pushing him. Josh, I'm going to send you this so you hear it too. I hope he wrestles. He could be a big senior for us this year. That kid has so much potential, really strong, really great wrestler. He showed it in all the times he stepped up against good kids and everything else. We're hoping Levi Woods comes and fills a big heavyweight spot for us and everything else. I know he's got some things going on where he wants to make sure his shoulders are strong and everything else. And he loves his football, so I respect that. And if he wants to come out, we'll push him. Mikey Ham, that kid's going to be a phenom. That kid just has a natural ability. He most likely will be like a 145, I'm guessing, for us. I'm not sure where he's walking around at. He is ball of fire, 24/7, great hips, knows where his hips are. When he learns something, he knows it. He's not the kid who picks up new things real quick, but he always has that great baseline of wrestling that you're not scared when he's out there. Gabe Kelly, that kid, heavy hands. He's like a grown man as a freshman last year wrestling against 152s. Last year, he showed that he's not even really naturally that big as he thought he was going to be. He hovered right at 150. He wrestled 45 for us because he made the weight at times whenever he was working hard in practice, and just like the weight would fall off because when you're working in wrestling. Gabe can be a huge kid for us. Gabe could be a kid who could be a 2 or 3-time state champ with ease if he just clicks all cylinders, goes out there with confidence, and just attacks people, because Gabe has that fire and drive where he can be really good. A senior for us this year who's one of the strongest kids around, Nathaniel Porter. He's a kid that's going to hold the center of the mat for us. He's going to wrestle, I keep saying 182, he says maybe 195. He could put boots in on about anybody his size and stretch them right out, and I know he'll rip their arm right off, running a totally legal power half that everybody in the crowd just cringes, because it's going to go over, and he's got that power, and he's going to put people in short offense. He's going to find his go behinds. He's another kid that I just want to have that strong hand fighting, great defense, score people, play that chess match. And we have another newcomer, Quentin Roberts, really wants to join the team. Another great athlete who could sneak in there. And he's going to be nervous at first, but if he jumps into it and goes for it and just believes in the technique we show and just sticks to that, that he knows he's going to do that, and it's just going to be first reaction, I think he's going to win matches that he won't even realize he can win. Another one coming back, hasn't wrestled since middle school, Tanner Veo. That's a kid that, another grown man right there, that can come out and show people he's got that grown man strength. He's got that composure. When you look at him, he just has that, you know, he can bring it to any sport. He's athletic. Wrestling wise, we can just teach him how to be that good hand fighter as well, and help a team of people that everyone's going to be afraid to come out and shoot on our people. If we get Jonah Lovejoy back, he hasn't signed up to shift. He doesn't know if we're going to be able to wrestle. If we wrestle, which I heard he's coming back, that kid right there, I believe, is going to be one of our state champions. Jonah has a feel. I talk about watching him wrestle when he was in middle school against a kid that I coached as a 3-time state champ in high school. He shot in a single, and as soon as the kid went to land on him, like the 4th time he shot it in, he just felt the kid's pressure and let the kid fall off him and landed right on top of the kid. Great, best feel on the team. If he was a kid that somehow just had an opportunity to wrestle all year round whenever he wanted and have a partner's, like a big club like Smitty's Barn, he would be a New England caliber kid. Jonah really has the feel for the sport. We're hoping Petey comes out and wrestles still. He's a big question mark for us, but Petey, I hope you're listening and come out. And we have Cameron Watts returning. He's our state champ. He's a kid that's going to set our tone. We know he can come out and wrestle anybody. He took on heavyweights weighing 205 pounds and didn't even care. Almost took out the kid from Howland one time, who was a big monster who I got to grow up coaching for a while. Great kid. And Cam didn't care. He went after him, went for everything, just did what he does. He's a kid who sets the tone. He will wrestle anybody in the room. He just loves to wrestle. The kid enjoys the sport. He just wants to be on the mat when he's there. Loves the people, loves the whole scene of the room. And I hope more and more people sign up. We have girls as well. We have a big girls team coming together with Anna coming in. We have Anna Montilio, her dad coaches over Mount View, so I know she's got a backing. We have Lexi Hopkins. That girl knows how to wrestle. She's got a great defense to her. If she can become a go-behind queen, she'd be amazing. We got – who else we got for girls? I'm going to list real quick besides those ones real quick. A girl named Libby signed up. We also had who else? Our girls team can grow because girls wrestling is getting huge. There's girls scholarships popping up all over the nation. Girls wrestling is one of the biggest growing sports in the nation. And it helps keep boys wrestling teams alive. It helps keep the funding so that everybody can all have one big program. We have one of the biggest and most beautiful wrestling rooms around with a pool right next to it. We have all the resources we need right there to keep a great wrestling program going. Even with the numbers that we have might be small for Belfast, it could be a group that could still come home with a state title if they really want it.
No doubt, Coach. And you kind of just answered one of my next questions was, you know, I got to tip my hat and give the ladies kudos to getting out there and wrestling, you know, not only trying to build a women's wrestling team to compete against other women, but, you know, since I've been back around Belfast for a couple of years now, you guys are sending out our ladies to take on other young men. in wrestling matches out there. And, you know, that's impressive. If you ask me, you know, a lady that's going to put herself out there and scrap it up with the boys. It's fun to watch. It's impressive. And it takes a lot of guts to do that. I know Brooke Richards was there last year. June was another one. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And Hallie. We had four girls total last year, and all of them wrestled boys, and all of them went after them. It was awesome. They didn't care. You could see at times they get out muscled, but it's cool when you see girls start to use their abilities with their flexibility and their abilities to kind of limp boys off in ways, and boys would think they'd normally run a move and grab a hold of someone's arm. They couldn't hold on to a girl's arm the same way. And girls just, they went after it. They did big things for us. Without those girls, we might not have won all of our duels. And without those girls, we wouldn't have had the team that we had. And it was huge. Those girls brought a lot to the team. They all like drilled together. They had their own little team network, but they were for us too. They were with us. And they did a lot for our team. I hope they keep growing because we have the space for it.
Absolutely. You named a lot of guys there. You know, we're getting short on time. You know, I'd love to comment on a lot of your wrestlers that I have interest in. I'd say one guy I'm very interested in watching wrestle this year is Hagen Chase. To my understanding, he was a new wrestler last year. And even though he wrestled at 106, he was an undersized guy. He was, what, about 88 or 90 pounds last year?
Soaking wet, yep.
I didn't see him all spring. I didn't see him during the summer either. I did see him at school the other day, and he's naturally gotten a little bit taller and bigger. He's got to be pushing that 106 area right now. So the fact that he had some success last year facing kids that were bigger and stronger than he was, well, now it's a year later and he's their equal and he got all that experience last year. So I'm really excited to see what he can do this year at that 106. Last question, Coach, is again, we're getting strapped on time. Back when I was in high school, I was used to see a lot of the wrestlers at school. You know, they were, you know, stressing out because they had to cut weight. They had to get to that weight mark to be able to wrestle. I'd see guys with 3-4 sweatshirts on, a trash bag underneath that, you know, 3-4 sweatpants and jogging, trying to lose that weight. I don't know that they allow that anymore. What's the biggest and most effective way for a guy to drop a couple of pounds in a short period of time?
We try to do it with just carb cutting at night, more or less at night, just make it so they eat like lean proteins and vegetables and like eat really healthy. So I don't talk about not eating. I just talk about changing the lifestyle. A weight cut isn't a couple day or a week weight cut. It's a lifestyle change. It's a month. It's a couple months. It's a whole season where you plan out your little splurges and you plan out if you have a big meal at noon on Christmas time, maybe you go for a little half hour walk through the snow or go out and shovel for a while to work it off and such, you know, it's a lifestyle. Then also if you can teach these kids how important it is to properly hydrate, you give them the reference of their biology teacher about how important the hydrogen and oxygen ions are for making that energy. And they realize, and then when they start drinking water all the time, they like it. You say, hey, you got a gallon down, right? You know, you make 4 of those water bottles a day. Next 3 days, you got to make weight, drink 2 a day. Only drink 2 because your body's used to drinking that. It'll flush it out. You'll sweat it out from practice. You'll lose 3 or 4 pounds naturally, and you won't even have to lose weight. You won't even think about it. It'll just happen from good routine, good habits. And that's the biggest thing. Wrestling's changed now. It isn't about the big weight cut and trying to feel like the big monster anymore. There's so much technique. There's so much out there. Kids like Hagen have been watching the sport in the off season. When I see him, he's like, did you watch that match? I'm like, yeah, I did. You watched it? And he's just like, we're excited to talk about the wrestling that happened because there wasn't much happening over COVID. And it was just, it's different sport now. There's no more weight cutting. It's a technique sport. Like, you know, there is weight cutting still. Some people do it. Most of the time, though, if you can get your hands on the kids, I've already been talking to them. Like, it's a lifestyle thing now. It's going for walks right now, going for light runs, starting that good fuel type, you know, like just making sure all your fuels are good, you're eating healthy. And if you're doing light cardio right now and creating a baseline, when you go to build your wrestling cardio, it'll be on point. You'll be able to peak at the right times, and you already have all the habits in place. You won't be starting them because you're excited because Coach talked about it first day of practice.
Coach, we got about a minute left. Tell any of our listeners out there listening, you know, what you'd like to say to some guys that might be thinking about joining the wrestling team, what type of benefits that they could receive from playing the sport of wrestling.
Wrestling builds a toughness. I guarantee there isn't a job owner out there that if they heard you wrestled, they would not be impressed. And especially if you had any accolades, they'd be like, okay, I know this person can push through adversity. It can help you in any sport you play. You get to hang out with me. We have a great group. It's something you'll never regret doing. The hurt is completely outweighed by all the greatness that happens from that sport for you. It's a sport. We build the friendship. We build a team. Wrestling it takes a certain type of people. I understand why some people can't handle it. It takes a certain toughness, certain mental toughness, but I hope everyone gives it a try if they have any thought about it, because I love showing people my love and giving you my energy in the sport.
Coach, I appreciate it. We're coming right up on the top of the hour. Thank you.